Hello, it's Micah from the Two LDS Archives, and today I got another video that I frankly don't want to do, but apparently we need to do this. Apparently this is just going to keep going and keep going and keep going, and I need to have this out so that when October and April of next year rolls around and the great and dreadful day doesn't happen, people will then look for the truth and hopefully find this stuff. This video, Seven Seal 2000, not to be plus 10. So I have a video going over Seven Seal 2000, whether it happened or not. It's an hour and 10 minutes. If you highlight all the stuff that are quotes from prophets and apostles and then mark what I've read written in red, you will find that 80% of it, maybe even 90% of it, is not me. You'll have sometimes 3-4 pages, not even a word. And so go check it out. It's not me. It's the prophets and apostles. In this video, I have another 10 reasons why the seventh seal did not get open in the year 2000. As always, you can go to the family blog and print all these papers off totally for free, ad-free. I believe strongly in priestcraft. I believe the people that go, please subscribe, please like, please share, set me up as a light. I'm a member of the 144,000. They're practicing priestcraft, and ironically or not, they are actually fulfilling a prophecy of and regarding the last days. So that's very interesting. So without further ado, let's get into this. Number 10. The Doctrines of the Gospel Institute Manual, Chapter 36, explains, quote, "The Savior will make several appearances before his second coming to all the world." Then it numbers them. 1, Christ will appear at Adam on Diamond, and then it gives you some references. 2, the Savior will appear to those in the New Jerusalem in America. Then it gives you some references. 3, the Savior will appear to the Jews in Jerusalem. Then it gives you some references. 4, the Lord will appear in glory to all mankind. End quote. It then explains what takes place at point number 4 that is listed above, i.e. the great and dreadful day. And it says, quote, "The veil will be removed from the earth when the Savior appears." Then it gives you some references. And this is important. It references 88:95. "And faithful saints, both living and dead, will be caught up to meet Christ at his coming." Once again, references 88:96-98. Now, this is in the Gospel Institute Manual, okay? So let's go to DNC 88. What does it say? "An angel shall fly through the midst of heaven, crying with a loud voice, sounding the trump of God, saying, prepare ye, O inhabitants of the earth, for the judgments of our God is come. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And immediately there shall appear a great sign in heaven, and all people shall see it together. And another angel shall sound his trump, saying, that great church, the mother of abominations, that made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and persecuted the saints of God that shed their blood, she who sitteth upon many waters and upon the islands of the sea, behold, she is the terrors of the earth. She is bound in bundles. Her bands are made strong. No man can loose them. Therefore, she is ready to be burned. And he shall sound his trump, both long and loud, and all nations shall hear it." Now I'm going to skip to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and read, "And when he had opened the seventh seal," okay, we now know who is opening it, "there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Okay, do these mesh. Let's go back to Doctrine and Covenants 88:95-98. Quote, "And there shall be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour." So yes, this is talking about the same thing. But this is what's important. Quote, "And immediately after the silence in heaven, shall the curtain of heaven be unfolded as a scroll is unfolded after it is rolled up, and the face of the Lord shall be unveiled. And the saints that are upon the earth who are alive shall be quickened, and be caught up to meet him. And they who have slept in their graves shall come forth, for their graves shall be opened, and they also shall be caught up to meet him in the midst of the pillar of heaven. They are Christ's, the first fruits, they who shall descend with him first, and they who are on the earth and in their graves, who are first caught up to meet him, and all this by the voice, the sounding of the trump of the angel of God, end quote. Ergo, the seventh seal did not open in the year 2000 because the great and dreadful day is not happening in 2021. If the great and dreadful day occurred in 2021, that would mean number one never happened, number two never happened, number three never happened. Okay? That is an incorrect. Okay, number nine. We turn to the DNC 7712 manual, and it says, what is the purpose for sounding of the trumpets by the seven angels? Trumpets were used anciently to herald or announce something or to draw attention to something. The seven angels who sound trumpets in Revelation chapter 8 to 10, now that is after the seven seals opened, will signal events that will take place in the beginning of the 7,000 years. After the seventh seal is opened. So the beginning of the 7,000 years isn't synonymous with the seventh seal being opened. Ooh, goodness. Before the Lord comes in his glory. End quote. Ergo, if the seventh seal was opened in exactly the year 2000, let's just make that assumption that they're right. But the manual here does clearly say that that will not happen. It says that we will be in the 7,000 years, and then the seventh seal will open. But let's just assume that it did, fine, the seal is open in the year 2000. Well, then that would have meant that we should have, past tense, we should have been hearing these trumpets from the year 2000 to today. But I hear one say, well, what if, or can, the trumpets be sounded? What if they can all just be sounded within like 1 week, right? Or like 1 month, etc. So what if it's just all going to happen between now to 2021? Okay, quote from Orson Pratt. The sounding of the trumpets does not take place, as many have supposed, in rapid succession. But certain events have to be accomplished between their respective soundings, and that is found in the Journal of Discourses of Orson Pratt, 1643. Ergo, no, they cannot. But what if the trumps are figurative? Like, what if the wrath of the Lord is also just like figurative, right? And the punishments have already been administered, right? Like, what if 9/11 was a fulfilling of something, right? Well, let's keep reading. Quote, we read there that when the first angel among the seven shall sound his trump, all nations and kindreds and tongues of the earth shall hear it. Will it be so much louder than any sound we now hear that it will go to all nations and tongues of the earth and all men hear it? Quote, every ear, the Revelation says, shall hear the sound of that trump. It will be something that all the kindreds, peoples, tongues, and nations upon the face of the whole earth will be able to perceive and understand. Now, there must be some medium through which this sound is transferred, different from our atmosphere. Or, in other words, the Lord, by his miraculous power, will cause this sound to proceed forth through the atmosphere in a different manner from what it now proceeds. For if it took the sound of that trump 5 seconds to go a mile, it would require a long time for it to travel 8, 10, or 15,000 miles, so as to reach the ears of the different nations of the earth. Does not this prove then that God will at that time either affect the ear of man or act upon some materials in connection with our globe so that sound will be more rapidly conveyed than it is at the present time. Journal of Discourse, Source and Pratt. Ergo, if the seventh seal was opened in the year 2000, we would have been hearing these horns in succession of each other, spaced out by years, those events, between each horn blast, and which would have been preparing us for the great and dreadful day, pouring out all the plagues, pestilence, and wrath of the Lord, for about the space of half an hour in heaven, after the year 2000. Hint, that didn't happen. Number 8. These plagues named, and this is a quote from Orson Pratt again, these plagues named in John's Revelation will take place literally. The Lord God will curse the waters of the great deep, and they shall be turned to blood. The sea shall become as the blood of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea shall be destroyed. And the time will come when the seven angels, having the seven last trumps, will sound their trumps literally, and the sound thereof will be heard among the nations, just preparatory to the coming of the Son of Man, and all the judgments foretold by John, which are to succeed the sound of each of the seven trumpets, will be fulfilled literally upon the earth in their times and seasons. End quote. From Orson Pratt. Ergo, not only would we be hearing the horns, we would be seeing literal fulfillments of the wrath of the Lord described by John in those chapters from the year 2000 to today. Number 7, Doctrine and Covenants 77, 6 through 7. Question, what are we to understand by the book which John saw, which was sealed on the back with seven seals? Answer, we are to understand that it contains. Okay, people, get a dictionary and we need to look up what that word means. It contains the revealed will, mysteries, and the works of God, the hidden things of his economy concerning this earth during the 7,000 years of its continuance or its temporal existence. Question, what are we to understand by the seven seals with which it was sealed? Answer, we are to understand that the first seal contains the things of the first 1,000 years, and the second also the second 1,000 years, and so on until the seventh, end quote. The church's website echoes this by saying that the first seal contains in it the years of about 4,000 BC to 3,000 BC, the second seal from about 3,000 BC to 2,000 BC, etc., etc., and the seventh seal contains in it the information from about AD 2000 and squiggly on. The church's website does not, I repeat, does not say when the seals were opened, or when they were or will be read. Okay? Once again, fundamentals of the English language, and that's not meant as an insult, I mean that as treat the scriptures like poetry. A fundamental understanding of the English language drastically helps when reading the scriptures. The church's website simply tells you what is in the books. Revelation 5, 1 through 7. And I saw in the right hand to him that sat on the throne a book within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth nor under the earth, so no man who has yet to be born, nor no man on the earth, no man dead and resting in the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had, past tense, had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent unto the earth. And I need to edit this because my beautiful, wonderful... What else can I say? What else can I say, folks, that about my beautiful wife, my scribe? I'm pretty sure that's correct. The JST changes this. And that's kind of important because it wasn't actually 7, it was 12. It was referring to the 12 apostles, which were already on the earth. That's why that's important. One of the others sent me... okay, having 12 horns and 12 eyes, which are the 7, 12. Again here, 12. These are the 12 apostles. 12 servants, that's plural, of God sent forth on all the earth, right? So this is after Peter and the apostles are sent forth into the earth. And the Savior came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, end quote. Okay. Ergo, Jesus did not obtain the book. He didn't even get the book to be able to open the book until post 33 AD, okay? Post the atonement, post Peter, James, John, and the apostles, okay? Joseph Smith confirms this when he taught, quote, the things which John saw had no allusion to the scenes of Adam, Enoch, Abraham, or Jesus. John saw that only which was lying in futurity and which was shortly to come to pass. It tells you to see Revelations 1:1 through 3. This is the key to the whole subject. Now, continuing the quote from Joseph Smith, now I make this declaration that those things which John saw in heaven had no allusion to anything that had been on the earth previous to that time, because they were the representations of things which must shortly come to pass, and not of what has already transpired. John saw beasts that had to do with things on the earth, but not in past ages. The beasts which John saw had to devour the inhabitants of the earth in days to come. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, so here's Joseph saying, all of the events have to do with the future. This is a direct quote taken completely in context. I haven't omitted anything. Okay, so Joseph says, this all has to deal with the future. And then Joseph Smith then says this. He quotes this verse. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. The book of Revelation, and then he says this directly after that, the book of Revelation is one of the plainest books God ever caused to be written. The revelations that I've just read do not give us to understand anything of the past in relation to the kingdom of God, end quote. From the teachings of the prophet, page 290. Ergo, the book of Revelation deals with future events, not past events. Most likely, none of the seals were actually broken directly on a thousand-year period start. Now, this is even echoed with the seventh sealers themselves, as they claim the sixth seal was actually opened by an earthquake well past the year 1000 AD, let alone their corresponding thousand-year periods, unless, obviously, Jesus time-traveled. And I have met people that believe that, that Jesus was a time-traveler. Okay? So when are the contents of these books to be read? After Doctrine and Covenants 88, 95, 98, which we already read above, which clearly was identified as the Great and Dreadful Day, what happens directly then after the Great and Dreadful Day? Well, let's read. And then shall the first angel again sound his trump, second time, in the ears of all living, and reveal the secret acts of men and mighty works of God in the first thousand years. Oh, that's when the first book is actually read, after the great and dreadful day. 2, and then shall the second angel sound his trump and reveal the secret acts of men and the thoughts and intents of their hearts and the mighty works of God in the second 1,000 years. That's when the second book is actually read, not opened, not when the seal's broken, when it's actually, the contents in it are actually read. And so on, until the seventh angel shall sound his trump, and he shall stand forth upon the land and upon the sea, and swear in the name of him who sitteth upon the throne, that there shall be time no longer. And Satan shall be bound, that old serpent who is called the devil, and shall not be loosed for the space of 1,000 years. End quote. Ergo, John is not shown what is in the book. He did not read the book. He was shown what was transpiring on the earth at the time a seal was opened. The books are actually read at this time, after the great and dreadful day, when the inhabitants of the earth and the dead are judged. Ergo, the one and only thing seven sealers point to and go, read the manual in the church website, read the manual, as proof, the only thing they point to as proof, is in fact a mirage. There is nothing in the church that teaches matter-of-factly that we are in the seventh seal period. Number 6, the Featherstone Letter. Vaughn J. Featherstone wrote a letter in the year 1983 to the saints of 2033, asking them what it is like to be living with the Savior among them. Members of the mostly seven sealers point to this and say, ergo, the second coming is before 2033. End quote. Well, apparently, without realizing that there are, in fact, multiple second comings, which I've already listed and discussed above. Featherstone was more than aware of the different second comings. He died in the year 2018, 18 years after the year 2000. If he believed the opening of the seventh seal occurred at the year 2000, he would believe that he was going to be resurrected in the year 2020, 2021, because that's what happens at the great and dreadful day. And we know that the great and dreadful day occurs, quote, immediately, end quote, after the silence in heaven ends. However, Featherstone wrote the letter to the saints living in 2033, assuming he would not be there. For if he was there, what's the purpose of the letter? He should have addressed it to himself, but he didn't. He addressed it to the saints, knowing he would still be dead. His presumption, or if you want to call it a prophecy, was actually that Adam on Diomon and the New Jerusalem will have already occurred, or would have occurred by the year 2033. But in the same assumption was that the great and dreadful day will not yet have occurred by 2033. Ergo, the Featherstone letter actually holds the belief that the seventh seal did not open in the year 2000. Number 5. Quote, the editor, as well as some others, this is a letter written by Joseph Smith, thinks that Joe Smith has his match at last, because Mr. Redding thinks that he has seen the sign of the Son of Man. And there are some, this is me, and there are some members today, I see it in the comment section today, saying, I think this comet, I think this over here, I think that's the sign of the Son of Man. Maybe we should read the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. Maybe we should do that. Anyway, continuing. But I shall use my right, this is Joseph Smith talking, and declare that notwithstanding Mr. Redding may have seen a wonderful appearance in the clouds one morning about sunrise, which I might add is nothing very uncommon in the winter season, he has not seen the sign of the Son of Man, as foretold by Jesus, neither has any man, nor will any man, until, after the sun shall have been darkened and the moon bathed in blood. Interesting. For the Lord hath not shown unto me any such sign. And as the prophets saith, so it must be. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. Therefore, hear this, O earth. The Lord will not come to reign over the righteous in this world in 1843, nor until everything for the bridegroom is ready. That was the end of the letter. You can find the letter in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 280. Next quote from Joseph Smith. There will be wars and rumors of wars, signs in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. The sun turned into darkness and the moon to blood, earthquakes in diverse places, the seas heaving beyond their bounds. Then will appear one grand sign of the Son of Man in heaven. But what will the world do? They will say it is a planet, a comet, etc. But the Son of Man will be as the light of the morning coming out of the east. End quote from Joseph Smith there. You can find that on page 287, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. One of Joseph Smith's close associates, Wandell Mace, claimed that the prophet said that this sign, the sign of the Son of Man, would be the return of the city of Enoch. And I go over that in great detail in my paper, The New Jerusalem. We have a quote from Joseph Smith recorded by Wandell Mace that says, when Enoch and his city was taken away, a portion of earth was taken and would again be restored. Joseph Smith, when describing the sign, was reported to have said that while the wicked will not understand its true significance, attributing it to a natural cause, the righteous will know what it means, and the coming of the Son of Man will be like the dawning of the morning sun that moves along gradually from the east until it reaches unto the west in a manner similar to the sun. This sign will be small at first, but will gradually increase until it is all in a blaze, and every eye sees it. The words of Joseph Smith, the contemporary accounts of the Nauvoo Discourses of the Prophet, page 181. Turning to Revelation chapter 7, the subheading says, John sees in the sixth seal the calling and sealing of the 144,000 and the hosts of the exalted. Revelation 7, 13 to 14, we read, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So tribulation, then this event. Okay, interesting. Matthew 24, 29 through 30. Immediately after what? The tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth shall be shaken. This sounds an awful lot like what Joseph said, huh? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Doctrine and Covenants, 88, 93 to 95. And immediately there shall appear a great sign in heaven, and all people shall see it together. We've already read this, okay? So we've already read all this. And then there shall be silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Revelation 8, 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Okay? End quotes from the scriptures. Ergo, when we put all that together, doing points of reference, which I go over in my video, points of reference. Not very hard to do. These are not difficult points of reference. Tribulation comes first. Then the sun gets darkened, the moon turned to blood, etc. All that stuff. And at the same time, the calling, purifying, etc. of the 144,000 is taking place. Then after that, then the sign of the Son of Man appears. Then after that, the seventh seal is opened. Then after that, silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And after that, the great and dreadful day. If the seventh seal was opened in 2000, a lot of stuff was apparently happening between 1990 to 2000 that we were unaware of. But let's say if the seventh seal was opened in the year 2000, that would mean the sign of the Son of Man would have been seen and identified by the prophet and would be consuming our sky by 2020. Number 4. In the Doctrine and Covenants Manual, chapter 68, verses 14 to 21, the office of bishop and descendants of Aaron. We read, at the time the revelation recorded in Doctrine and Covenants 68 was given, Edward Partridge served as the only bishop in the church. However, the Lord promised that in due time he would call other bishops. A month later, on December 4th, 1831, the Lord called Newell K. Whitney to serve as a bishop for Ohio. Those called to serve as bishops were to be high priests in good standing, called and appointed by the first presidency. However, the Lord also revealed that firstborn sons of Aaron's literal descendants have the right to this office by virtue of lineage. If called and found worthy and ordained by the presidency of the high priesthood, also known as the first presidency. Anciently, Moses' brother Aaron was the presiding high priest of the Aaronic priesthood. In ancient Israel, only descendants of Aaron could hold the office of priest, and the high priest was selected from among the firstborn of his descendants. President Joseph Fielding Smith further explained that the provision about the descendants of Aaron found in Doctrine and Covenants 68, 15 through 21, refers to the specifically to the office of presiding bishop of the church. If you don't know what that is, see my video, Keys of the Kingdom. This has, quote, this has reference only to the one who presides over the Aaronic priesthood. It has no reference whatsoever to bishops of wards. Further, such a one must still be designated by the first presidency of the church and receive his anointing and ordination under their hands. In the absence of knowledge concerning such a descendant, any high priest chosen by the presidency may hold the office of presiding bishop. End quote from that. Having a right to keys after being called, and this is me, right? So I said end quote. So, having a right to keys after being called, that's what happens in the church. We get called, then we're found worthy, right? Then we're ordained. That does not mean you can do whatever they want. They have the priesthood because of the blood. That doesn't mean that. That couldn't be further from the truth if you tried. We allow people to go through our temples, anybody, during open houses, because at the time they are nothing more than just a building. It takes the priesthood acting under the proper authority of the keys before the Lord accepts the house as a house of holiness and makes it thus. I actually have the priesthood. I actually do. And I am a worthy priesthood holder. However, if I raised millions of dollars and I built a quote-unquote temple, and I called it a temple in the Middle East, and then I started doing sacrifices at that temple, you wouldn't accept it. Nobody would accept it. And you shouldn't accept it. Obviously, the Lord wouldn't accept it. Ergo, random Jews in Israel cannot be fulfilling these prophecies, let alone building temples. Are you kidding me? And offering legitimate priesthood ordinances. Are you kidding me? If you are a member of any other Christian church, guess what? You got my blessing. You got the church's blessing to believe whatever you want. And you can hold those beliefs. But to teach this as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is apostasy. Period. Thus, those temples are not being built, have not been built, not being fulfilled. Ergo, we're not in the seventh seal. Number three, going back to what we read on Christ on the church's website, first there will be Adam on Diamond, second there will be New Jerusalem, third Mount of Olives, fourth great and dreadful day, right, etc., etc., etc. Remember how I said there's these verses that they give you on each of them that they listed? Well, let's read them. Daniel chapter 7, those ones, let's read them. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from behind, and thousands ministered unto him, and thousand thousands. That's so cool. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and beheld, one like the Son of Man, come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him nearer before him. And there were given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. D&C, chapter 116, the only verse in that chapter. Spring Hill is named by the Lord Adam on Diamond, because, said he, it is the place where Adam shall come to visit his people, or the Ancient of Days shall sit, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. 3:21, we read, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel, as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem, and then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. D&C 45. And it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it, and it shall be called Zion. The place shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked, that every man that will not take his sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And this is another important verse. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven. And it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. Now let's read Revelation chapter 7, 9-10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. End quote. There are some pseudo-intellectuals that for some reason think that this event described in Revelation chapter 7 and everything I've just read occurred at the Palmyra temple dedication. Anybody with the Spirit of God reading the scriptures that I just read, the same scriptures that the church provided in explaining the events at Adam on Diamond and New Jerusalem, will know that Revelation chapter 7 has nothing to do whatsoever with the Palmyra temple dedication. Not only that, they use Palmyra and then the seven sealers, and they use that this Palmyra, and then they quote from President Nelson's wife, and then pivot to, quote, say something along the lines of, maybe Christ already came, maybe he is living among us, maybe Adam on Diamond already happened. Something along those lines. And I just scratch my head because apparently these individuals also don't know what actually happens at Adam on Diamond. Joseph Smith taught, quote, Daniel in the seventh chapter speaks of the Ancient of Days. He means the oldest man, our father, Adam, Micah, Michael. He will call his children together and hold a council with them to prepare them for the coming of the Son of Man. He, Adam, is the father of the human family and presides over the spirits of all men. And all that have had the keys must stand before him in this grand council. The Son of Man stands before him. And there is given him glory and dominion. Adam delivers up his stewardship to Christ, that which was delivered to him as holding the keys of the universe, but retains his standing as the head of the human family. End quote from the teachings, or from Joseph Smith, which is found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 157. The keys of the kingdom are rolled back onto Christ at Adam on Diamond. Folks, do we still have baptisms? Do we still have the sacrament on Sunday? Do we still have a prophet? Folks, ergo, the keys haven't been handed back. Ergo, this event hasn't happened. Ergo, Palmyra Temple dedication did not open the seventh seal. Number two. This one's important, folks. Sharing an unverified quote from a dead prophet, in this case, President Hinckley, that he apparently, in quotes, said, and I will quote that because that is what they're doing, apparently said under his breath at the year 2000, is grounds for excommunication. Whether or not they excommunicate you or not, that's up to the keys of God. I will tell you, though, 100% positively is grounds for excommunication. If a prophet of God is not comfortable putting his name behind a quote, you as a member have no right, no authority, and is grounds for excommunication to spread chaos with unverified quotes that you've attributed to prophets of God. This apparent quote, the only validation that Seventh Sealers are presenting, other than obviously the mirage dealing with the seals. If I went around saying that I heard President Hinckley mutter under his breath, quote, I hate blacks. I hate all black people, end quote. Would anybody accept that? Would everyone, you know, be talking to friends and say, well, you know, it's Micah's personal experience. Well, we can't fault him for simply sharing what he or she heard. Or would members be screaming for me to be excommunicated? Ergo, members should stop sharing this or face the wrath of the Lord. Number one, President Nelson said that we are not in the seventh seal and that random Jews in Jerusalem are not the ones who are going to be fulfilling prophecy. Gasp. When he said, quote, remember that the fullness of Christ's ministry lies in the future. The prophecies, not a second coming, the prophecies of his second coming have yet to be fulfilled. We are just building up to the climax of this last dispensation. When the Savior's second coming becomes a reality, the Lord will bless you with strength and wisdom to accomplish these things, which only members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can accomplish, end quote from President Nelson. Ergo, Adam on Diamond didn't happen in secret, folks. Ergo, the seventh seal wasn't opened. Ergo, Jesus has not appeared to New Jerusalem. Ergo, Jesus hasn't appeared to Old Jerusalem. Ergo, Jesus' great and dreadful day is not happening in 2021. And that is when they claim the silence is over. Ergo, random Jews in Israel aren't building temples accepted of the Lord any more than temples built by Muslims are accepted by the Lord any more than crazy Bob up the street and his temple is accepted of the Lord. Ergo, if you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and accept President Nelson as a prophet, you have to, by virtue of that, accept that the major prophecies regarding the Savior and his second coming, which include the opening of the seventh seal, are yet future events. Ergo, end of video, 10 more lag bolts ratcheted in to the seventh seal 2000 coffin, and not a single proof for it. Let us push the coffin into the river. Let us kick it into the river. Light the arrow on fire and send this coffin to Valhalla with all the other vain and pagan ideas. And let us focus on the days that are actually ahead of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.